In the summer of 1947, and in Lexington, the operator of this recorder was going east to New Haven, Connecticut. He took with him the recorder and stopped in at Akron to see Dr. Bob and Annie. They had both just shortly returned from the hospital after serious operations, and Annie was confined to her bedroom. Their son, young Bob, and his wife were visiting them at the time. The recorder was taken to the bedroom, and the following voices were recorded during that visit. The first voice you'll hear will be that of Annie Smith.
Robert wants to start first and afraid. We've got Betty and Smitty here with us, and George Hood. We're all up in my bedroom where we are entertained now. Very formal entertaining, as you can imagine. But very nice of you to invite both Bob and myself down to Bedford Hills, and we'd love to come. But at present, we'll have to stay put at 855 Ardmore. This is a new experience for me. I had a moving picture taken of myself, and now I'm recording. So you see, even with a bum eye, I'm still alive and kicking. Here's to Robert.
Coming to Trowbridge, I'd like to introduce Mr. Ford as descended on the Smith for a short time. It's really an unexpected pleasure. We're both confined to the house yet, but have hopes of getting out in circulation before too long. I regret and am also that we can't come to Bedford Hills for a little recuperative period right now, but if you'll give us a rain check, maybe we'll show up next fall or winter. They tell us that they're doing very nicely, although I have discovered that surgery varies a good deal as to whether it's done on you or you do it on the other fellow. That changes the picture quite a bit. I think possibly my recent experience will make me a little kinder and more thoughtful to those recipients of my handicraft. We at least can look forward to a nice chat with you, I hope in the early fall, and we appreciate the fact that you are willing to send us the rain check.
This is Betty, the second newest member of the family. The newest member of the family. I just happen to have a few albums here of him, and it's too bad you aren't here to see them, because I show them to everyone at the slightest opportunity. I hope that sometime in the near future I can meet you both, because I've heard about you for a long, long time. I don't know what else to say. Oh, my dad said that I should get a stuffer for the baby. It's a device that goes on the baby's shoulders, and every 30 minutes it shoots 29 cents worth of food into his mouth. I think it would be a good labor-saving device. I think that's about all.
Hello, Bill. Smitty Jr. talking. Betty and I are up taking care of the family, at least we're supposed to be. Dad and Mom are both coming along pretty good shape now. Dad has the stage where he wants to argue with everyone, so you know that he's perking up. Mama's getting the itch from staying in bed so long, so he's staying up a good part of the time now, too. We're going to leave the first and go back to our native habitat down in the wilds of New Mexico, but we're towing the truck behind the car, we hope. And want to send our best to both you, Bill, and to you too, Lois. I gave Dad a very interesting lecture on exercise. In fact, it was so darn good that I started taking it myself. He hasn't as yet, though.
Speaking again from Detroit. I came back from San Francisco on the night constellation into Chicago last Tuesday night, and I'm still a little bit goofy from all of the 2 months work I tried to do in 2 weeks on the West Coast. I have to leave again Sunday for a conference regarding my own business in Grand Rapids. So this is the only chance I have. I'll try to crowd it all in on one wire. I drove down to San Diego on Thursday afternoon, April the 14th, with my Southern California representative, Ben Benson, whom you met on the West Coast, and Jim and Rosa Burwell, Dr. Emily, Benson, and myself all had dinner together. Dr. Emily is in great form and looks brighter every year. She sends her best regards, of course, and is glad to know that you are in good health and in good form. Kim and Rosa are all enthusiastic about any plans for reorganization. And Dorothy Snyder Brower sends her best regards, as does Freddie Breithut, who looks better and better. Apparently, Freddie's marriage has answered his problem of loneliness, because both Freddie and Florence, who was one of my proteges in Detroit, are getting along fine. Kim says that the San Diego situation, so far as AA is concerned, although there is some difficulty over office management and the like, that they will go along with your plan of reorganization. At any time you ask for support, and that there is nothing questionable at that point. I spent 4 or 5 days around Los Angeles, but principally out in the San Fernando Valley with Bruce Manning, who is, you will remember, the motion picture producer, and is now working for Sam Goldwyn at a mean $5,000 a week. I did some 12-step work with Bruce on a Charlie Moran, who used to be a sports writer. And Charlie seems to be very close to the operations of the Los Angeles area. I understand they have been split 5 ways and are operating now in sort of independent units all around. But the general feeling about any reorganization plan you might propose is still on your side, and your personality still pervades through all of the groups due to your last visit. Whatever you suggest, if it is properly presented out there, would be immediately accepted. There is some repercussions in the Los Angeles and San Diego region due to the visit of Father Fall from Indianapolis, who promoted the Matt Talbot groups. Apparently, he is being accused of commercializing his AA, and as much as he is accepting gratuities, expenses, and is selling books, so they asked him to not talk anymore around Los Angeles or San Diego and be on his way. They didn't like his approach, which is indicative of the fact that some of the groups are not going to stand for this particular religious type of activity. At San Francisco, where I had a tremendous lot of work to do for myself, I did manage to take in the 90-group Bay Region Conference at Oakland, and I heard your very fine recording presented there. It seemed to me a fine way of setting the tempo of the whole thing, and it was much admired, and many people commented on the fact that it was not definitely directed toward this conference, but was open for all to consider. At this conference, Jim Burwell, of course, gave his history of AA, and the next day led into traditions and what they could mean as a general talk. He spotted me in on this program and introduced me by saying that I had traveled very widely and had a reasonably comprehensive viewpoint of the total situation. I don't particularly like that kind of an introduction, but I did feel that in this instance I could be an instrument, and so I used what knowledge I had and what opinions I seem to have arrived at to what I thought was the best for that particular purpose. As a result, a resolution was passed by the conference approving the reorganization plan as you had originally set out and will be sent to you immediately. I understood the previous conference also approved the plan, but a present resolution might be a good instrument in your hands. The chairman of the conference, whose name I can't just now recall, spoke with me at length, both in Oakland and later at the club in San Francisco, and he is sending you a complete and detailed report of the whole procedures together with his feeling about their reaction. You can depend on San Francisco, at least for the present, and this entire Bay region, to support any reorganization plan you may propose. But I have a feeling that you can't wait too long and depend too long either on this support. Part of this is due to your own personality, which hit hard and very powerfully in this district. But sooner or later, this whole West Coast, which feels completely independent and sometimes wonders what New York is doing in the United States at all, feel, I think, to a great extent, the same way about AA and the New York operation. And unless they get some sort of representation within a reasonable length of time, I don't think they're going to stay with the whole proposition. They can see no real reason, and this I heard as a background of discussion or direct support of the foundation, unless they are involved in the operations themselves. And this is, I think, good psychology, for to get people interested in what you are doing, they have to play some active part in it themselves. After the conference, four or five of the older men in San Francisco, including Ray Holgate and others, and myself, had a talk session which lasted well into the early hours of the morning. It gave me a little chance to let down my hair slightly and suggest that some definite action be taken so far as a reorganization idea was concerned, and I think that most of the older men understand it thoroughly and will go along at least for a while. I do feel, though, that your complete plan, as outlined in the mimeograph copy you sent to me, is much too complex to present to the average AA who does not understand it and cannot take time out to study it. I think perhaps a simplification or a compromise of the idea would be much more satisfactory. I am making this only as a personal judgment for the reason that I could not understand the reorganization set up myself until I had read it over and over and finally charted it all out on a big sheet of paper to see how it works. And I am rather familiar with organizations, and it should not have been too difficult. This means that the average AA is going to get confused. And probably when he sees this immense amount of detail, will be so muddled up that he might be inclined to withdraw in the opposite direction and might say, ah, the hell with it, it's too complicated, we don't need these things. It's just an idea, but perhaps it might be well worth thinking about. Which is a revolver and once over lightly idea of what seems to me to be the high points of the present situation on the West Coast, at least as far up as San Francisco and the Bay region. San Francisco is my town, and I'd like to live there. Ever since the first minute I saw it, it was almost like the Paris I knew in my youth, and there was a great wave of nostalgia crept over me when the plane took off from the San Francisco airport, and I looked back at the lights of the city and the hills and the Bay Bridge, the Golden Gate Bridge with its lights too, and knew that I was leaving it again for the third time. I hope someday to get back, and I'd honestly like to live in that part of the country. And now for a minute about our Detroit situation, about which I don't think you've heard yet very much. I don't know whether this is a direct pattern or not, but some time ago, a Catholic priest joined our groups here. He had been a long way down, and part of his disaster had occurred originally because of his tremendous ambition and his resentment against those who would not push him further up in his own profession. It wasn't long after this man, Father Edmund Cullen, got in our Detroit groups before the good Catholics began to use him as a center point around which to swing their own activities, and a St. Jude's, that's J-U-D-E-S, society was formed, meeting once a month in a breakfast luncheon combination held on Sunday in the Book Cadillac. The attendance runs between 400 and 600, and it became quite evident then that the religious issue was going to be made very definitely here. Cullen is very ambitious, and inasmuch as he was made the center, his ambition began to mount, and he began to take over more and more activities in his own line, acting as confessor to many, prescribing religious procedures for others, proselyting generally among the membership to get them back into the Catholic Church and to join St. Jude's Society for further work. And then groups were sent out to start St. Jude's Society affairs in Grand Rapids and now in Saginaw and Bay City. So the issue is now made, and it is pretty clearly defined. Two or three times it has almost broken out in the open, and at a delegates meeting held about 3 weeks ago, it almost exploded in the middle of the floor. 10 hours later, but perhaps within the next 3 to 6 months, I think a very definite split will occur in Detroit, straight down the middle, with all of those groups, predominantly Catholic, going over on one side and supporting one office, and actually supporting the office we now have, over which they have full control, and then all of the other groups who remain particularly neutral and practicing generally the broad principles of AA without the religious implication will probably set up a complete new organization of their own. I feel very definitely that this is some pattern. Just how far the thing can spread, I still don't know. And I wonder sometimes why the Catholic Church themselves and those higher up do not step into the picture. But all this is not clear in my mind. It is only this pattern that I see of Father Ed Dowling in St. Louis, Father Fall in Indianapolis, and now Father Cullen here in Detroit with the St. Jude's Society, that to indicate that there is something happening along this line. I have no recommendations or suggestions. I've tried to stay neutral in the whole situation myself, but you know me. I've always been very active. And whether or not I involve myself, I usually get involved anyhow and almost excommunicated before the thing is over. I don't mind the excommunication so much because I seem to be able to look at the past situation and recognize that perhaps much good has been done and the penalties have not been too great. And if any action is taking place, someone always has to do something about it and risk the chances of misunderstanding or even error on their part, too, though I don't mind that.
I think,
though, there is a very definite trend here which might be looked at, and you would be in a much better position to understand that than would I. I hope my previous wire to you before I left for the West Coast did not seem too strong. I somehow feel as though perhaps I laid it on a bit thick, but that was the way I felt about it at the time. And I still don't think that Bob should be too much involved in this situation, certainly with the way he feels about it.
If my accusations
about Earl seem unjust or untrue or in error, then just mark it off to poor judgment on my part and forget it. You can always erase the wire, and that ends the matter so far as record is concerned. If you should be talking to Dr. Bob, I'd rather not become involved in the conversation because I think so much of him that I wouldn't for a minute have him feel I am doing what Earl seems to be doing.
I feel he shouldn't be disturbed, and that all these things can be handled perhaps better in some other manner without disturbance, so far as Bob's peace of mind and the little time left is concerned. Well, it looks like it's getting the end of the wire, so I'm going to pop this along to you for your listening and comments and understanding if it helps any. I think we can leave it there. Don't forget when you get through with the wire on Bob's talk to send it back to me so that I can straighten out the last end where the tone level changes and make a duplicate for permanency. And there isn't any need of answering any of these, but if you feel so inclined, you might erase the wire or send the whole damn bunch back to me and I'll erase them. I seem to use a great deal of wire for some reason or other and never have enough. Everybody on the whole West Coast sends their best love and regards to you and Lois and best wishes for your continued happiness and good health. That junket you made on the West Coast certainly did a lot of good, and everyone is still talking about it. I hope the season is pleasant with you and that you can perhaps drop in to Akron some of these days, as you suggested you might do on the phone. I don't know whether I'll be coming east this summer or not. I understand that the Yale school has been canceled and transferred to Texas, which means the refresher course will not go on at New Haven, and I did intend going back for that. I might be called to New York on business, and that I don't know. But anyhow, the future seems to be pretty well provided for, although business has a very bad odor just at the present. I have hopes that the thing will clear up. I really enjoyed this whole West Coast trip in one sense, although time was limited and I didn't see as much of as many people as I would have liked to. I understand there's a motion picture now being almost ready for producing in Hollywood on AA, and I hope it's a success, but there is the usual talk about just how good or how bad it will be. If there is any question about it, or you hear anything about it, you could get in touch with my friend Manning, who seems to know about what is what and is very much interested in AA generally. This is a lot of hodgepodge on the wire, but it is almost like the old Kimona speech they talk about. It touches only the high spots and covers the subject. I guess that's about it. My kindest regards to you and the best of the season. Greetings and health and happiness from old man Hutt.
Dear Lad and Bill, these two spools of wire, number one with a lot of people on it, and the number two, a report from the meeting at Madison, Wisconsin, are going down to you direct by Lou West, who is one of our inquisitive members of the Pontiac group. I think you will have enjoyed talking to him because Lou has one of these very inquiring minds, and he is opening it up and beginning to look forward and can be very instrumental in helping the Pontiac group establish tradition and custom and a future for AA. Your wire from Memphis, which you sent back to me from the Memphis Conference, has done a tremendous amount of good, and I am sure that when you hear all of the comments of the various people, you will know just how much of an impression it made and how much these people understand what the traditions and future of AA may be and how willing they are to cooperate in any of these things. I'm going to tack this wire on at the start of the comments, so this part of the wire you will get first. I hope your recorder is doing well and that it has turned out to be all you hoped it would be. Perhaps by now you have become a good recorder engineer and have understood the operation of the animal. It does take a little patience and some time, but it seems to be doing a good job in most instances. I think the cross-section of comments that are on this wire bring out many things in the background. Certainly, there is a great deal of gratefulness to you and to Lois for all of the years of effort and a great deal of appreciation. And I also seem to detect an understanding of what AA has been, where it is now, and where it is going. I think it represents a general cross-section of the feeling, and I am quite sure now that almost everyone will understand the ideas you have in mind when and if you get around to making them verbal and evident. At Madison, Austin repeated the idea of making any recordings of any talk. I wondered a little bit about this sensitiveness because there were newspaper reporters present. But at any rate, the recording has been made, and it does show just about what some people say on an open platform in certain sections of the country. I think for the ideas expressed, it is excellent, and it almost gives you what might be called a bird's eye view of the operations of types of these kinds of open meetings. Austin would be glad, I am sure, and so would I, for your comments on particularly the talk of Austin. And when you have heard it on this wire, if you wish, I wish you would send it back to me. Austin has asked me to have recordings on discs made of his talk so that he can listen back to it and perhaps make what changes might be necessary in the future. On some of these wires that I have been using, I have played back quite a few times now WWJ's History of the Beginning of AA. I am always surprised to find that so many new men know so little about how AA started and are so badly confused about the original starting of the whole affair in New York and its connection with Akron. It seems to me that this little WWJ program has done more to straighten out some of the traditions in the minds of the new men than anything I have yet heard. I keep thinking when I hear some of these things back myself that there's too much George Hood in all of them, and I have to slow down a little bit and try to get humble again. I don't suppose that there's very much I can do about it. I have to be in evidence when the darn machine is running and somebody mentions my name. There are a couple of other things which may or may not interest you. My good wife, Myrtle, and myself are trying to get now a reservation for a small apartment at North Paddington Beach on Sand Key, just out beyond St. Petersburg, Florida. These apartments are new, just being built this year. And they have a large living room with a Davenport bed, kitchen, and bath, and a bedroom with twin beds. They are surprisingly inexpensive because they rent completely furnished for $190 a month. We hope to go down about the middle of January and stay perhaps until the middle of March. By that time, I know that I'm going to need some sunshine and a rest, for the business pressure has been truly tremendous ever since I got back. Both my wife and I have been thinking that perhaps along about that time, the Wilsons might be looking for some sunshine too. And we wish to extend the invitation for you and Lois to come down and join us at any time during that time that is convenient. I know how you would wish to run away from people, and that is just exactly what my wife and I are doing. We have no other plans except to lie out on the sand in the sunshine, talk very little, and rest as much as possible. If you and Lois could consider any such thing as this, I'm sure we could make the complete arrangements, and you could be Mr. and Mrs. Putt, completely anonymous, and just slide in and slide out without ever anyone knowing it. It might be possible, too, that Dr. Emily might wander in from San Diego in her new Studebaker if she then has it, and we might have sort of what is called a quiet reunion. I certainly shall not cultivate any verbal diarrhea for those 2 months, because what we are trying to do is get away instead of get in. Won't you and Lois think it over and see if this isn't a possibility? We have been hearing nothing but good reports from the whole conference at Memphis. Apparently the tone of the conference was excellent. Bill Wilson was feeling fine and up to the top standard, and the impression and suggestion that he created and made are taking root and growing. I think that's splendid, because certainly the future is worth looking at and guarding so carefully. I hope you are still considering doing something about getting together a true history of AA, one that will stand up for the future and cannot be distorted by future historians. As I go around the country, I am amazed at the complete lack of understanding of the early days and the confusion that exists about what happened, who did it, who these people were, and all the rest of the questions that come up. It certainly is something well worth considering, and it would be of tremendous advantage to all of those who must come after. I've talked a long time on this wire now, much longer than I usually talk, I think. But there were these things that I wanted to bring up. Primarily, I hope you will consider the St. Petersburg idea. It might be the opportunity to get a little rest and to enjoy the sunshine just at the time of year when we need it the most. At any rate, we can look forward, I think, to the future, and I send you my love and regards and best wishes for all of the good things in life. That's all. And of course, this is from George.